Sir, this is Polymer Life.
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you. This is good. And then, can you do that?
Yes, John Marusiak.
Hey, John.
Okay,
my design. This is Leandro Garcia. Patrick Lindner is on also. If needed.
Mr. President, this is John. We can go ahead and get started.
It is, Ralph. I'm on board.
Okay. We've got everybody here. Just my agenda just disappeared on me. 1 second. Okay. All right. Can the for the record, can the board members roger up again one more time? This is Jude Benavides, Chair.
Ralph Fallon, Secretary.
Chairman Reyes, Vice President Reagan.
Okay, great. We got enough for a quorum. Go ahead. John, you ready to go on your end, you said?
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
All right, excellent. Let's go ahead and we have, after confirming quorum, I'll go ahead and like to call the meeting to order. This is the SRWA meeting, May 4th, 2020, meeting virtually over a conference call. We do have a confirmed quorum. Are there any public comments?
No, there isn't.
No public comments.
I'm sorry?
No public comments.
No public comments, good. Thank you. All right. Then we'll go ahead and go to item number one. Consideration of possible action approval of the April 6, 2020 board meeting minutes. We'll entertain motion.
So move.
I have a first.
I'll second. Put on the right.
All right. Great. I have a first and a second from board members. Any further discussion on item one? There's none heard. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right. The motion passes. Item number two, General Manager Report. Mr. Bouchette.
Mr. President, members of the board, we have the operation and financial report. Mr. Jose Garza will do the operation report first, and Tricia Ayres do the financial report. Jose?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. President, members of the board. This is Jose Armando Garza, and I will be presenting the production and distribution report for the month ended March 31st, 2020. If you go over to tab number two of the board binder, that way you're going to find the SRWA in 2019-2020 fiscal year water distribution summary and two up estimates. And I'm going to start on column C. Column C, you see that the year to date SRWA distribution is 1,378.565 million gallons for a daily average of 7.533 million gallons per day. Now we go to column F. That's the year-to-date water distributed to the city of Roswell. And that's at 1,275.601 million gallons for a daily average of 6.970 million gallons per day. Under column G, this is the water distributed to Ballymun number 2, and that's at 38.725 million gallons for a daily average of 0.212 million gallons per day. Under column H, we find that the water distributed to the city of Los Fresnos, and that's at 32.532 million gallons, for a daily average of 0.178 million gallons per day. And the column I has the credit for BND, and the year-to-date is 28.949 million gallons, for a daily average of 0.158 million gallons per day. Under column J, that's the allocation for Inlet Lake. And the year-to-date is 2.758 million gallons, for a daily average of 0.015 million gallons per day. And below that, we have the true-ups. At present, the PUB is minus 5.22 million gallons. Valley Man number 2 is over by 4.123 million gallons, and the Serenos is over by 1.1 million gallons. Any questions on this stage?
I have none.
Okay. Going to the next page. This is the production and distribution for the month of March. And on the third column from the left, you're going to find the total production, and that was at 226.155 million gallons for an average of 7.295 million gallons per day. In the column to the far right, that's the water distributed from the plant, and that's at 231.966 million gallons for a daily average of 7.483 million gallons per day. Below that, we have the chemical costs and electrical consumption costs. And the chemical, the cost for the month of March was $47,546.34. And on the electrical, the cost was $88,569.08. Going to the next page. This is where staff reports production that falls below the 6 MGTs. And we have 2 days where the production fell. It was on March the 1st. We were down for 5 hours because of an issue to our air scrubber system. And then on March the 11th, we were down 10 hours because we had a scheduled shutdown because the electrical connections to the new microfiltration, chlorine dioxide building, was going to be installed. That concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Okay, thank you. Good report.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we'll go on to the financial report, Tricia.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. President, and members of the board. I'm going to present the financial statements before as of March 31st, 2023, and March marks our halfway point through the fiscal year. On page 6, for the employee revenues and expenses, our operating revenues consist of member assessments at $3,449,710. Operating expenses consist of personnel services, $293,302, materials and supplies, $266,210, repairs and maintenance, $43,520, contractual and other services, $605,761, and depreciation expense of $633,635. Our total operating expenses as of March, $1,872,441. Subtracting from our revenues, we have an operating income, $1,577,359. Continuing on the next page, on operating revenues and expenses. Halfway down the page, on our first line, we have a net non-operating expenses. fiscal year to date of 336,068. Tracking the civil operating income on the previous page, and we have a change in net position for the year of 178,021. That gives us an ending net position. The end of the year, 18,318,229. The remaining two pages of my report provide the budget to actual details of the operating expenses for the month of March, as well as year-to-date details. And this concludes my report. Are there any questions?
None here. No questions.
Thank you.
That concludes the General Manager's report, Mr. President, members of the board.
Okay, great. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Moving on to item number three. If there's nothing else on item two, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Item number three, discussion on the quarterly investment activity report prepared ending March 31st of 2020 pursuant to Chapter 2256.023 of the Public Funds Investment Act. Andrew?
Yes, I'm here. This is Andrew. Good afternoon, everybody. We are required to report to the board on a quarterly basis the results of the investment portfolio for the authority. I will begin from the presentation on page four. Page four provides the general funds that we maintain for the authority. We have the capital improvement fund on the left column, the debt service. We have three debt service funds related to three outstanding issues. Debt service 2009, debt service 2012, and debt service 2017. Then we have a reserve fund for the debt service that we're required to maintain with U.S. Bank as our paying agent. Then we have an operating fund and then the O&M reserve fund. So page five kind of captures all those monies from the different funds into the investment instrument types. So I'm going to go into those types on page five. You'll see there bank deposits, U.S. Treasury notes, investment pools, money market mutual funds, and certificates of deposit. So our total investment in these five instruments of $10,575,495, that's the market value, yielded for the quarter a yield of 1.42. That 1.42 is a decrease of 0.4% or 3 basis points from our December quarterly financial or investment portfolio. So it went from 1.82 to 1.42. What you'll notice here on this one page is you'll see that our investment pools were built favorably during the month of January, February, March. Exceeding 1.4%. We had a money market with U.S. Bank at 1.12. And then we had four different CD investments that were yielding in excess of 1.6 up to 1.03. These were very favorable. We had strived to get them up to 1.9 over 2% in prior quarters. But these were the best we could do during that time. Some of them do mature later this year in September 2020 and November, and then one goes through 2021 next March. So today, the CD program is still doing well, but in today's market, when actually doing well, that means it's doing better than the other instruments. We do get offers on CDs of 60 basis points. CP, commercial paper, is running at about 30 points or below. Wells Fargo, if you see that 7.73 on the first row, the Wells Fargo deposit, that is now 0.5. They did drop their earnings credit rate from that 3 to 0.5. And then we're seeing treasuries now way below Even the 1 year is below 20 basis points or 0.2%. So treasuries will not be a good investment right now. We are keeping money with Wells Fargo to maintain liquidity, and that's earning 50 basis points. And then as some of the CD matures, we're looking to investing into CDs. And hopefully they'll stabilize 60 basis points or go even higher. We are finding it challenging, as you all know, with the impacts of the economy based on the COVID-19, in trying to optimize interest earnings and maintain liquidity. On page 6, we show the distribution between the five instrument types. We do have limits of 75% of the total pool, total portfolio. In many transactions, so investment pools continue to be somewhat favorable, so we're keeping 62% of our portfolio there. Those treasuries, 6%, definitely going to drop if the rate continues to stay very low, under 20 basis points. So we'll probably be looking at CDs and then tracking the investment pools, the daily investment rates, which for now tend to be in the 30s or 40 basis point range. So that pretty much concludes my presentation. There is no action on this, but I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Leandro, this is Jude. I do have one quick question. On page 5, the yield summary, that yield to maturity percentage points, are those are weighted by the percent of assets?
Yes, we weight them based on the duration, the days. Based on the proportion or share of the portfolio.
So that's it. So both percent of assets and then the weighted and days to maturity?
Yes.
So
there's some underlying formulas that we have to take into account because of the maturity structure and the ratio to do it well.
Okay. Great. That's the only question I had. Thank you very much. Excellent report.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions from other board members?
No questions.
Okay. Now, if there's nothing else, thank you, Mr. Garcia. We'll move on to item 4, consideration of possible approval of the resolution of the SRWA authorizing the use of digital and electronic signatures and setting an effective date.
Good afternoon, President, members of the board. My name is Lucia Hernandez, ATU Communications and Administrative Services Director. The presentation this afternoon will be conducted by Google Enterprise Content and Record Policy Manager, Nancy Thera. Ms. Thera?
Yes, thank you. President, members of the board, my name is Nancy Thera, and I will be presenting this item.
I'm sorry, but let me interrupt you. Is anybody else hearing some feedback or double words? Or is it on my end?
No, I've heard you.
I am. I'm hearing.
You're hearing some feedback? All of a sudden, I started getting right on this item. Leandro, you were coming in clear, but something might have happened because it seems to be doubling up a little bit. It's possible to hear you, but it's a little bit distracting. Maybe is there a second mic on somewhere?
No.
Not I only have one mic on my phone.
No, I was talking over. Is there a meeting where there's more than one person? I don't know if there's anybody present in more than one area. Could everybody who's not talking make sure to mute, please, and see if that fixes it? Go ahead and proceed, please. See if it works.
Thank you, sir. On March 11, 2020, a
novel it's still there. If it's all right with the board members, so you can understand, I'll go ahead and go with it. But it's definitely a repeat on my end. Anybody else have that? Any other board member have a repeat on their end?
I'm hearing some extra noise also. But I can kind of out there.
Yeah, I hear you fine. The board members I hear fine. It's PB or SRWA that I hear echo.
Nancy?
Okay. Let me try. Can you hear me
better? Whoever just said Nancy was not echoed. And that was fine.
This is Olga. We're here at the boardroom.
Yeah, that's better, whoever. That's better now.
Okay, I'll go ahead and proceed. Thank you.
Sure, thank you for, different, I don't know how, whatever y'all did, or maybe it was just the mic, but thanks. It's much better.
Thank you. On March 11, 2020, a novel coronavirus which causes the disease COVID-19 was declared a global pandemic by the World Health Organization. On March 23, 2020, the county judge of Cameron County issued a revised proclamation certifying that COVID-19 poses a threat of disaster in the county, declaring a state of disaster for Cameron County and setting various restrictions, including shelter-in-place measures. Additionally, Bronson Mayor Juan Trey Mendez also issued a revised proclamation on March 24, 2020, certifying the imminent threat COVID-19 poses to the city, declaring a state of disaster for the city of Bronzeville, and setting various restrictions to protect the health, safety, and welfare of its residents. The Southmost Regional Water Authority, SWA, is subject to the Uniform Electronic Transaction Act, Business and Commerce Code, Chapter 322. This is the Texas law that governs the use of electronic signatures, and Section 322.007D. However, due to the current COVID-19 declaration in place and the changing situation, electronic signatures provide a convenient, time-saving, and secure way of signing electronic documents. And such use of electronic signatures will limit contact among employees and individuals during this pandemic. Upon approval of this resolution, the DPUB General Manager and CEO and individuals designated by the General Manager and CEO will be authorized to sign SWA documents with an electronic signature. A staff recommendation is the approval of the resolution. Are there any questions for me?
Yes, this is Jude. My only concern here, and make sure, what other steps are we taking to, I'm sure other agencies are doing this, and what steps are they, or are we doing to address the possibility of fraud with electronic signatures? Are there any backups or policies in place?
We do not have a policy. The resolution actually will serve as a policy as to SOWA being able to sign documents with an electronic signature.
Okay, well, that doesn't need a policy to me. That's a authorization from the board. You all would need to set the policy in place and see what restrictions and possibilities and addressing possibilities of fraud and other backup loops or addressing some conversation or reviews of documents and make sure that if we get a signature that is not necessarily in person, that is somehow verified. That would be a policy.
The signature?
This is not a policy.
Okay, sir. We will put
that on. It's not a policy to me, I at least not in my opinion. It's informing us that this is what has happened and that we want approval of resolution. It may be policy in a larger framework that says we're going to do this, but the actual policy of how we're going to follow this process and how this may impact day-to-day operations with respect to fraud and or making sure that those signatures are being made by those individuals, that needs to be addressed.
Mr. President, this is John.
We are
working, Nancy is working on the protection of the signatures with a password for those, and that'll be part of the policy we're going to develop.
Okay, because, I mean, my big concern, we all know that electronic signatures can be easily copied and pasted. And while that is obviously entails some step and intent that I don't think is gonna we're going to have to be concerned with here, as far as malfeasance and other things, we need to be able to have some sort of, either talking to spot checking or closing the loop or some sort of process where we can try to minimize the possibility of that done being done either through shortcut a system or in the worst case scenario of downright fraud.
Yes, we agree with you on that.
Why don't we have? We don't have that many documents, things that we need it signed. I know PUB, just a second.
Thank you.
So I'm going through security here at the portal. But why don't we have a check and a balance on that? And I think that's very important in light of things that have happened. And have staff verify somebody, you know, for accounting, senior accounting person verify that by telephone or by email that is their signature, you know, and contact that person personally and say, did you sign this electronically before we move forward with it?
President, this is Nancy. The software that SOWA will be using has an encryption integrated, and also the signer will be required to enter a password in order to sign the document.
Okay, good. All right, at least that's one level. I would also like to see, and that's pretty standard for if you're using an official electronic document or electronic signing. And I'm not necessarily opposed to going this route given the emergency situation that we have here, and I agree with everything that's stated in this particular
resolution.
However, I do want to see, and this is something that we could probably discuss later, John and folks, in my opinion, there should be a second layer of verification, something along the lines of what Ralph was talking about, that not only is a first step where we can verify the signature, but where there are periodic spot checks set up in place while this is happening, in addition to everything else, and that would involve tasking someone. This involves issues of signing documents. It could be issues of safety and health. It could be issues of electronic tagouts, et cetera, where we're back rolling and looking at stuff and saying, hey, this document here, and basically an audit or accounting for after the fact to make sure that we see these, and we don't have to spot check all of them. I'm not talking about a huge thing, but a random and or periodic review of these types of documents while we're entering into this phase because of the importance of these documents. Yeah, we may not have a lot, at least on our end, but I'm sure the CEO and individuals designated by the general manager CEO, there'll be a lot of these documents that need to be signed. And if this becomes our regular MO, I can see, in my managerial experience, I can see where we enter a possible slippery slope where, just sign it, and here, paste it. I'm not saying that will happen, but that door is open, and that slope is there. And lots of corporations, I know from my reading and my experience and my previous experience in the military, that's where that starts happening, and the same thing happens with rubber stamps, and that's why they're so well guarded. We're having the exact same thing here, except this rubber stamp is digital, and things can get really out of control if we don't have some system in place as an audit or secondary review to the primary security measures you just addressed, which are linking it to a password, making sure the document is signed.
Mr. President,
so I'm fine with just to say that. This is just for the record, number one. Number two, something I would like to review with both SRWA and PUB. since I'm on both boards, and for now I'm okay with well, I won't vote ahead of time, but I don't have any other further concerns specifically about this item.
Mr. President, this is Lucy Hernandez. We did develop a process document and we can incorporate your concerns into that document to ensure that there's a proper procedure for it and verification.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Some sort of audit and verification procedure after the fact, in addition to the upfront security concerns, security issues associated with a password, so forth and so on. Thank you. That addresses my primary concern.
One of the other things you might do is have a level of money where somebody has to be a founder of, an additional signature or approval or whatever over $10,000 or over $25,000, whatever the amount is, so that we don't get, if somebody's trying to hit us big, we can know about it.
That's an excellent idea. That might be something in the document that we can amend if you're okay with this as we move along and modify this to say any critical or extremely sensitive and or high dollar values at a rate which we can set, later, need to be verified immediately after the submission of the document via phone or second document or second electronic method, text, you name it. I think that's an excellent idea. Oh, thank you. You guys have that?
We ought to do it as quickly as possible.
Okay. What do you suggest?
I suggest you put it into effect immediately. When the signatures start signing things, if it's over $25,000, they have to have a second director say, yes, that is correct.
John, care to chime in or somebody, or Lucy, anybody?
Yes, yeah, Mr. President, Nancy, correct me if I'm wrong, but this does not apply to any approvals for payment. We already have a process for that, and this would not apply to that.
I'm not talking about approvals. What I'm talking about is not the approval. It's a process for payment. Because when you sign something, you're either authorizing to buy something for somebody to contract with somebody or to pay somebody. And those are the places that I want a dollar amount, that I want the verification on the dollar amount on the signature. I know it's cumbersome, but once you get a system going, it will work just fine.
I agree, Ralph. Thoughts, folks, from FWA?
Mr. President, this is John. Given the discussion we're having, I would recommend we table this item so we can work all that out and go to. We'll have to route documents to people at home or whatever to get them to sign it. With this much concern, I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable if the board's not comfortable in proceeding with this.
I have on equal footing myself. This is Jude. On equal level, making sure that we have smart, careful practice in place for documents that are not critical for this type of secondary review. If we're going to table this, I would like fast action, and I don't want to wait a month, to get something in place that is going to provide us, the board, with a little bit more clarification as to what we are giving approval for electronic signatures. Because as the way, and Ralph, thank you, as the way the resolution is worded right now, there's two huge paragraphs of justification, which are important, and then the action item there on the resolution is, upon the approval, the individuals designated by the general manager or CEO will be authorized to sign SRWA documents. period. And that's pretty open-ended there. And I don't think that addresses a couple of us, our concerns, both Ralph and myself, and I think that those are valid concerns. So if we table this, Ralph and other board members, would you be opposed to having some sort of a emergency meeting in a week or so? Quick one, just to address this, if that's enough time for us to get.
Absolutely. I mean, it would be a 4 or 5 minute meeting, hopefully. It would just, yeah, it read off what the deals were. And I have total confidence in John and our staff, financial staff. You come up with a set, don't try to do it on the spot. I realize it puts everybody on the spot, but we need to have this check and this balance in place.
Absolutely, absolutely, Rob, and I agree with you. I don't think this is any issue. Even given the thing that for the previous issue, I would have raised this concern regardless, because with my past experience in the nuclear world, I'm very careful with authorizing signature issues, and that not face to face and or other issues. We're going to go around that. We need to have I think we need a little bit more guidance. I would like it turned around quickly, John, if at all possible, so that we do not inconvenience and more particularly endanger anyone. What I would agree is the silly process of going and having to take a document to someone to sign when there is a secondary process in effect. For example, my signing of the agenda for this meeting was done electronically, but after an email back and forth, between the requester, and in my opinion, that would count as a sufficient secondary method of approval. I agree it's cumbersome. I agree it's a pain, but I think we need a little bit more detail on what documents and what procedures we're going to have in place and what types of documents that would need that immediate secondary verification.
Let me suggest something else, and that is that I have total confidence in you, Jess, that if you can approve what staff's coming up with, and we'll ratify that at the next meeting or the special meeting, whatever you want. I just want to see something put in place, and I know that I've got total confidence in you.
I appreciate that, Ralph. If that's legal with our council and with and SRWA is okay with that, and other board members are okay with that, I'm fine with that as well. John?
Yeah, again, I'd like to develop the procedures and put everything into place before we proceed with this.
Okay.
I mean, I'm here at the office every day. I'm signing these documents. Leandro and Fernando can sign these documents. Those are the three people I would be concerned about.
Absolutely. We're all concerned about them.
And you direct us, we will sign the documents. It's not a problem. Until we get this thing worked out, there's too many open holes in this thing right now to proceed with this.
Right. That's our concern. But is it possible to turn this request to get additional information around and a policy that would address, and I'm not talking an overly detailed policy, I'm talking about something that is going to say major action items, dollar approvals, those types of things, specifying what it is we're not giving authority to and what we are, and that everyone understands that. Can we do that within a week?
Yes.
Mr. President, yes.
Okay, great. Then I'll... At this point, if there's no further discussion on this issue, and I thank everybody for their comments and points. We don't often come across issues of contention on these meetings, but it is important when we do that everyone take this in consideration, that everyone here has the best interest, professional and health interests of everyone in mind. If there are concerns, valid concerns, or any type of concerns, the valid or invalidness of a concern is to be judged upon by a group, that this even potential delay of a week has, I want to hear it. I want to hear those concerns. I'll express them to the board, and we can reconsider that if possible. For now, I will entertain a motion to table this contingent on additional information
with the hopes of getting this back in front of everyone within a week.
Mr. President, I had a question.
Yes.
I was going to ask, this policy that we're going to develop, this is going to be a temporary policy only while we are in the middle of a disaster, or is it going to be a permanent policy?
I believe it would be temporary. Is that correct, John?
Yes.
Would you? Yeah. And then, are you going to be temporary?
Nancy.
Yeah, Nancy, sorry, go ahead.
Okay. It would be a temporary process.
So okay. We could specify that process.
I do want to respond to Mrs. Hernandez that FAWA does have a different process for obtaining approval signatures for payments. But we will clarify that as well.
Yeah, let's do that. And then we also specify, I think that's an excellent point, specify that this would have a closeout date for this policy either upon the suspension of emergency conditions or, you know, because this could be on for a while, it could be on for a few weeks. So at least some verbiage there as to this is not obviously a permanent issue and that would be reviewed either monthly or quarterly until conditions change emergency proclamations and that kind of stuff, disaster proclamations are lifted, something to that effect. That's an excellent idea.
I would like to add something else here. Once you develop this, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time we have a disaster. If we will have other ones, hurricanes, whatever, but you will have a way to put this in place that this would be. In other words, you go into Plan B, and this would be Plan B, and it's already spelled out, so you don't have to do this all over again. If we have to do more to this mode at a later date.
I like that idea, Ralph. Like you're talking about, like it would be a emergency electronic document signature policy, something like that. That's generalized for any emergency. Okay.
Yeah,
we can do that. Nancy, John, folks, we can do that as well. The most generalized. At least on my end, Ralph, I'll make a friendly amendment to that suggestion if you don't mind. On a not to lengthen the time involved for addressing the current issue, if you run into an issue of, well, what kind of disasters and this kind of stuff, and we need to, you know, sit back and think about that, and we're going to add some more time, let's go ahead and get this one done first, it'd be odd, and then we'll ask the administration to give us a more generalized form as soon as possible. Okay?
Yeah, all I need to define was what a disaster would be.
Right.
What would be considered a disaster? But I'll leave that up to staff to bring back.
Great. Okay, then I'll entertain a motion to table. Item number 4 for now.
So moved.
A motion to table. And a second. Is that correct? Was there a second?
Yes.
All right, great. I have a first and a second. Any further discussion on this?
Call for the vote.
Do we get a date for the next meeting? No, I'm sorry, this is item 4. Yeah, and we'll hopefully get that within the week, and then we'll set that date next meeting approval immediately so that we can get it, and if it's allowed, I will verbally go ahead and give the okay to proceed with that and then notify you all, but I think we'll probably be best just to have a meeting.
I'll leave that up to you.
All right, great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Item 4 is tabled. Item number 5, consideration of possible approval of the resolution of the SRWA suspending the applicability of the Public Information Act requirements because of the state of disaster due to the public health emergency caused by COVID-19 and authorizing the general manager and CEO to submit required notice to the Attorney General and setting an effective date.
President, members of the board, again, this is Lucia Hernandez, and Nancy Taylor will also be presenting this item to the board.
Thank you, Lucy. President, members of the board, Mrs. Nancy Taylor, and I'll be presenting this item. the Farmers Regional Water Authority is subject to the Public Information Act, which provides citizens the right to inspect or access copies of government records. So due to the current COVID-19 declaration in place and the changing situation, Farmers Regional Water Authority may encounter difficulty in meeting the Public Information Act and stringent time requirements at any given time. Thus, if needed, temporarily suspending the applicability of the requirements of the Public Information Act will be a best interest of citizens requesting information and Farmers Regional Water Authority. Upon approval of this resolution, the DPD General Manager and CEO of DCU would be authorized to provide the Texas Attorney General the required notice to suspend the requirements of the Public Information Act in accordance with Section 552.233C and 552.233E of the Government Code. The Records Management Department is a department handling public information requests, and we're currently operating normal. We continue to respond to public information requests. SOWA has not received that many public information requests, and this item is submitted as a proactive measure in case the COVID-19 pandemic situation gets worse and we are not able to gather and respond to public information requests. If this item is approved and the pandemic becomes a different emergency, Mr. Vizia will already have the authority to suspend the requirements of the Public Information Act, and in turn, we will submit the required notice to the Texas Attorney General's office. Just to let you know, the DPD Board of Directors has approved an item for the same subject, and a staff recommendation is the approval of the resolution. Are there any questions?
Any questions from the board?
No questions.
Okay, none heard. I don't have any issues with this one as is. So there's no questions.
No
questions. We'll call. Okay, great. Then I will entertain the motion for approval of item number 5.
So moved.
I have a first and a second. Any further discussion? None heard? All in favor?
Aye.
I have 2 ayes and myself. All in favor, it passes unanimously. The board members present. Item number 5 passes. Item number 6. Consideration and possible action to ratify the BPUB's property insurance premium for policy year 2020-2021.
President, members of the board, the BPUB requested proposals for property insurance for both PUB and Southeast Regional Water Authority for policy year 2021. The request for proposal process began with an advertisement of an invitation to submit proposals. The advertisements ran in the Bowser Herald on December 15th and 22nd, 2019. And on the PPV website. The invitations to submit proposals were sent to 10 vendors. On January 15, 2020, the proposals were opened and acknowledged. One broker agency submitted a proposal for consideration. The proposal met the specifications. An analysis of the proposal was conducted by BPV insurance consultant Arthur J. Gallagher and Company. The premium is collated based on property values between BPV and Southmost Regional Water Authority. The current insurance market resulted in higher not just hit amounts than the cost submitted to the proposal. The cost for FIWA is $84,937.94. Southmost Regional Water Authority's percentage is 6% as compared to 94% for BPUB. The analysis was presented to the BPUB Board Facilities Committee on February 18, 2020, and the PUB Board of Directors approved the property insurance for PUB on March 27, 2020, for a 3-year period with the board's option to renew at the end of each year. The previous coverage ended April 1st, 2020, and the current coverage is approved by the board will end April 1st, 2021. We have with us this afternoon Cheryl Kelly. She's Area Vice President with Gallagher, and she will be presenting the insurance to the board. Cheryl?
Thank you, Lucy. Good afternoon, President and members of the board. My name is Cheryl Kelly. I'm with Arthur Gallagher. as Lucy pointed out, we did receive one quote for the renewal from Marsh Wortham. The total limit of the policy has remained at $400 million. There's no changes on that. On page 7, some of the, or page 8, I'm sorry, some of the sublimits did decrease this year due to market capacity. The deductible for all other losses has increased from $250,000 to $500,000. And all others have remained the same. Does anybody have any questions?
No questions.
I'm sorry, you said there was only, you said that there was one change as far up to $500,000?
One broker that quoted the renewal.
Okay.
And the there was a change on the deductible from $250,000 to $500,000, and then some of the limits did, sublimits did decrease, but your overall total per occurrence limit remained the same at $400 million.
I just have a question for the board. Am I looking at something different on, I think it's 10, item page 10 of your presentation, right? This is Arthur J. Gallagher and Company, correct?
Correct.
I see items for deductibles, a lot more changes than just one. I see all losses from 500,000, deductibles 500,000 to a million per occurrence, diesel, diesel generators 100,000 to 500,000. So forth and so on.
This is the number. Those apply only to the PUV portion. That's the electrical
side. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yes.
I missed that.
So that's
yeah.
Where, that's where more of the changes were on the electrical side. And those are different to that purpose.
Got it. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. I'm with
no, it's a combined proposal.
It's a combined. Yeah, that's right. Got it. Okay. Can you, No, I think I've got it now. I'm sorry about that. Yep, okay, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, President, this is Lucy again. If I could make my recommendation, it's DTV staff recommends approval of the SRWA property insurance as recommended by the insurance consultant for an amount not to exceed $84,137.94 for policy year 2021. For a 3-year period with PV's option to renew at the end of each year.
All right, thank you. I'll entertain a motion to approve. Item 6.
I'm so moved.
I have a first. I only have a first. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, there's a second from Ralph. I have a first and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, nothing heard. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I hear two ayes and myself, aye. Passes unanimously. Item number 6 is passed. Thank you very much, everyone there. Item number 7, consideration and possible action to extend the annual service contract for chlorine dioxide.
Good afternoon, President and members of the board. This is Diane Sellicher. Chlorine dioxide is used to reduce iron and manganese in the drinking water. We purchase this chemical annually, and our current contract is with Evoqua Water Technologies, and it's scheduled to expire on July 31st of this year. The current supply of chlorine dioxide, which was approved by the Board of Directors on June 4th of 2018, is for a unit price of 0.857 per pound for the initial contract period of 12 months. SRWA has the opportunity to extend the contract for an additional 12 months at a unit price per pound of 0.889. Based on the unit price of 0.889 per pound and the estimated usage of 280,000 pounds, the estimated annual cost for the chlorine dioxide is $248,920. This is the third year of a possible three-year contract. The term of the contract for the third year will be from August 1st, 2020 to July 31st, 2021. SOWA staff recommends approval to extend the annual service contract for chlorine dioxide to Vocal Water Technologies of Sarasota, Florida, for a grand total amount not to exceed $248,920. Any questions?
Thank you. Any questions from the board? No questions.
No questions.
Excellent. Given there are no questions, I will entertain a motion to approve item 7.
I'll move.
I'm first. I have a second. Any further discussion? None heard. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I have two ayes, myself third. Item passes unanimously. Item number 7 is approved. Item number 8, John, discussion on date and time of next board meeting, next meeting, go ahead.
Mr. President, members of the board, the calendar is the last document in your packet. June 1st would be the first Monday in June. That would be our recommendation.
I'm good with June 1st. This is June.
I'm good with June 1st.
Okay, and all the other board members on the line here with May 11th. We need to call a meeting on May 11th at noon.
That'll be fine. That's fine.
Okay, and I'm good as well, John. So we need to, if you can get that turned around for us, and we can hopefully meet next week as well.
Okay, we'll have it.
There will also be a telephone meeting, right?
Yes.
Yeah, telephone meeting, yeah. Either May 11th or May 18th, depending on, or sometime during that week. I myself am wide open, John. That week.
Okay, well, we'll do the 11th at noon.
I know you need time to get that all together and then get it announced and everything else, but, okay. Great. Anything else?
That's it, Mr. President.
Anything else from board members? All good. I hope everybody is healthy and as happy as can be. I know we're starting to deal with